the ending of that song was beautiful.
That song was Scorch by Dilla Strait featuring Lewis. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it is Tuesday, yep. Which means Jonathan, good morning. Scorpio Books time.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Very well. Once again, another wet Tuesday. I seem to know that because I come here and it's raining. So.
Yeah, you seem to. Every time you come, it's raining. One day you'll come in nice weather, I promise.
Yeah. So, hi, guys. Right. Now, the book I'm talking about today is one I'm two-thirds through. Wonderful. I originally was hoping to, planning to talk about another fiction title, but this one, which I'm going to get into, is one I started a couple of weeks ago, and it was too good to put down, so I thought this is one I really want to tell you about. It's called Empire of Pain. Okay. It's by a guy called Patrick Radden Keefe. He's an American investigative journalist. Now, what this book is on is a family called the Sackler family. Now, where you may hear or know of what they're dealing with is... still going on in America is an opioid crisis, which really kicked off in the late 90s. And one of the precursor drugs, or the main guilty parties in this, was a drug called OxyContin. The Sackler family are the ones behind that particular drug.
I see. Yeah.
Now, the author has said that he got into, I think, if I recall right, he was doing research into Mexican drug cartels and the amount of heroin going into the United States. And through this, he found out more about why Americans have, in the last decade and a bit, have come really back into heroin. And a lot of it traces back to OxyContin abuse. Now, he looked into that, found out more about who the people who pushed it, the company, which was called Purdue Pharma, and sort of went back to the very beginning, and that's what the book is about. Not so much the actual opioid crisis itself, but more who the people are who are behind the marketing and everything of this drug. What's probably slowed me down in reading it is because there's a lot to take in, but it actually reads like, I guess you'd say, a fictional family drama, or family dynasty drama. So the first part of it... is all about a patriarch called Arthur Sackler. He's one of three brothers, born to immigrant parents to the USA, lived through the Depression and everything. All the sons grew up to be doctors. Arthur eventually becomes involved with advertising, and he's one of the pioneers of advertising for medicines to doctors, and therefore onto
patients.
And his big win was two drugs called Librium and Valium, which you would find out a while later. Valium is very addictive, which they didn't tell, but it was marketed as a sort of a tranquilizer or a
I'm familiar with it.
After that, his other brothers, who are all part of this group, he's done the marketing side of things, and and at some point in I think the 60s, they bought a pharmaceutical company, Purdue, Franklin or Purdue Frederick, I can't remember. And his other brothers, Mortimer and Raymond, sort of carried on with that. And when Arthur died, there was a bit of a family split and everything where things went, and Mortimer and Raymond carried on with Purdue, which they just renamed Purdue Pharma. They developed a drug called MS-Contin, which was... it was a drug to release... morphine to sort of more people going through end-of-life pain, whereas there wasn't really any drugs at that point, which could slowly administer the dosage to a person. So once upon a time, the only way you could get that really strong painkiller was through intravenous or injection. you would have to stay in the hospital to get it. So that drug itself was able to mean people went home.
Mm.
They could stay, go home, come back to the hospital next day, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
When the patent was running out for that drug, the family, which was now the sons of Mortimer Raymond, or the next generation, I should say, they came up with something else to sort of carry on that and keep sort of their patents, which was this slow releasing ability of this drug, which was which became OxyContin, and went on from there. The thing is that they made billions from this drug, or these drugs, because of their sales pitches, which they'd already fine tuned and through Arthur, where you have these salespeople go out, see the doctors in their practices, push these drugs as this is the next best thing, prescribe this to you, your patients. What OxyContin was trying to do, which MS Contin didn't do, hopefully I've got these words right, was MS Contin was meant for end of life pain sort of idea.
Yeah, OxyContin
was for everybody.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things the author talks about is their catch or the tagline was, it would be the OxyContin is the one to start with and the one to stay with. So you would use it for your back pain, knee pain, headache, all those sorts of things. And it was stronger than just regular morphine.
Yeah.
But the idea was a slow releasing, but, you know, people
it's an could intense drug,
break
yeah.
it down. They could get what they need from it easily enough. People who were taking it for good reasons would eventually become addicted to it. Mm-hmm. Not everyone did, of course, but this is kind of where it all goes. And the family obviously made a lot of money and could be very litigious. So a lot of efforts to sort of get something back from them didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, only just recently the company is trying to file for bankruptcy. This is this year, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because the family has pulled all its money out of the actual Purdue Pharma, so there's no money for them to go after now. Mm. So there's all sorts of problems. But the final thing on this is that where I had heard about these guys was because they were Arthur, the original patriarch, was very much into collecting art pieces and stuff. He had a legacy of, or he wanted to build a legacy. He liked collecting art, and then he decided, he was encouraged to donate it. He donated it with sort of, well, name this wing of your museum after me, and you can have this X amount of art. They've continued as a family to donate, and it's now meant all these art galleries like the Met Gallery in New York, or the Smithsonian, or the Tate in London. They've now got all this tainted art from a family that's made its money off
addiction and drugs.
Which the author does say he doesn't believe that that was ever the intention. It was just they wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
And because they knew how they had sales reps well trained to sell to doctors and to convince them this was the better thing to go with.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It worked out.
Jeez.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Clearly the book is tackling a lot. I mean, for a book called Empire of Pain, it seems like you've got a lot of pleasure out of it.
Yeah, it's just he is a very good writer. He's written a previous book which has been a very good seller for us called Say Nothing, which is all Northern Ireland troubles. And apparently that's what drew a lot of people to this author. But it's just it's incredible just reading about how American pharmaceuticals work, how a family that essentially had nothing was able to build its wealth and keep it. But I've never read quite anything like it. I know a bit about the opioid crisis from podcasts and other books which are written. It's not the very first one, but this is, as I said, it's more concentrated on the family. And I mean, these guys weren't the only people who were doing things like this, but they were one of the biggest. And the fact that they covered both advertising and, or obviously being very strong on the painkiller side of, creation.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's great, but as I said, I'm only I'm only up to the beginning of the third part of the book, and I still haven't got the next fallout
still
sort of like the late 2000s.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it sounds really fascinating. Like you, I've heard bits about the opioid crisis, and you know, those drug names rang a bell. I know what Oxycontin and Valium and stuff is, but yeah, I never really knew, I guess, the history of kind of the creation of it and
really
how it got
readable.
Pushed and stuff.
I don't.
Yeah.
I do try to read more nonfiction these days, but as I said, he's not been able to interview lots of the family for don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, I can imagine
the legal things going on. But he has made a point of sort of like, I mean, I've got the book in front of me showing you, but he's got like
footnotes,
almost 100 pages worth of footnotes.
Oh, wow, yeah, he's very well researched.
And he does talk about, like, you know, he's read an awful lot of things on top of this. It starts at a cracking pace with it, basically, the lawyers in a particular law firm, with one side is the family, the Sackler family, and the other side is the people who are suing them for all the problems that have come. And that's where it sort of starts. It's like they're saying, no, our fault. If you're addicted, it must be on you.
Yeah, it's not.
But that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Of course.
That's only about 5 pages worth, and then straight into the origins
family
of the family.
Well, very cool. Wow, that sounds fascinating. I want to crack into that. Well, if you guys out there would like to get Empire of Pain by Patrick Redden Keefe or any other book, you can go to Scorpio Books for all your book-loving needs, as the ad used to say. And if you'd like to win a Scorpio Book voucher, just text us in at 021-738-985. Let us know the name of the drug, just the main drug that this book is about. We've mentioned it several times. It's one you've probably heard of. I think that's it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jonathan, for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And I'll hopefully see you on a warmer day.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh,